Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Will you pray with me? God, help us to quiet our hearts, to truly listen for your word, and strengthen us to act. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Do we have any bird watchers here? Yeah, we've got a few. May 1st is one of the most important bird watching days in Northeast Indiana. Now, May 1st also happens to be the day that I began serving as pastor here. But what's even more exciting is that on May 1st, the Orioles come back to my backyard. And they bring with them the grosbeaks and the tanagers, and the whole backyard is a flood of color. And I look forward to May 1st every year because those birds somehow know what day it is. Except for last year. Last year, I had the grape jelly out, I had the orange slices all arranged, and I was waiting for the birds, and I waited for days, and they didn't show up. And I couldn't figure out what had happened. But then one day, I thought I heard an oriole call from across the street in the woods. So I got out my cell phone, and I got on YouTube, and I found an oriole call recording. And I played it full blast, standing out on my patio. And within a minute, I heard an oriole call back. And shortly after, the Orioles were back in my backyard, and they stayed all summer. They heard the call. In our readings this afternoon, we have some folks who heard the call. Jonah heard the call of God for the second time, it says. The disciples heard the call of Jesus, and I love Mark's gospel because everything happens immediately. Jesus immediately called, and the disciples immediately followed. They heard the call. And the Orioles, of course, heard the call. But there's one other person who did not make it into our Bible, a woman who heard the call that I want to talk about today. Her name was Thecla. There's a little-known text called the Acts of Paul and Thecla, and it is in a bigger text called the Acts of Paul that our church fathers did not decide to include in our canon. And the last couple of weeks, I've shared with you stories that didn't quite make the cut, but I think there's something about Thecla's story that we can learn from today. When the text opens, Thecla is sitting in an open window. She is sad because she is betrothed to be married, and she doesn't want to be married. Now, remember at that time that women were property, and that it was the job of the parents to arrange a suitable partner for this woman. And her job was to be a wife and to be a mother. Thecla had dreams that were much bigger than that. She wanted something different, but her mother would not let her get out of the engagement. So she is sitting in the window, and she hears the voice of Paul. Now, in this text, we have the only physical description of Paul, and I want to share this with you. Paul is described as being a man of middling size, and his hair was scanty, and his legs were a little crooked, and his knees were projecting, and he had large blue eyes, and his eyebrows met in the middle. But it says that he was so filled with grace and mercy that at some times he seemed like a man and at other times like an angel. Thecla listened to Paul for 3 days. She heard the good news and she heard something else. Paul was a big proponent of celibacy. We read in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married, it is better to be unmarried just as I am." Can you imagine how Thecla felt hearing those words? It was as if somebody was giving her permission to follow her heart. She feels hope, and she wants to serve the God of Paul. And so, she breaks her engagement. She leaves her home. She cuts her hair. She wears men's clothing, and she baptizes herself. That's called moxie. She follows Paul to learn from him, and her mother is livid. Her mother has Paul arrested, and the charge is perverting the minds of our wives. Paul is whipped and released. Thecla, however, is sentenced to death by her own mother. Her mother wants her burned at the stake as a warning to other young women who might want to follow their hearts and not bow to the social norm. But when Thecla is at the stake and they are lighting the fire, this huge thunderstorm blows up and it puts the flames out. So then they try to throw Thecla in the arena so the beasts can tear her apart. But the women in the audience stood up and with one voice they demanded that Thecla be released. And she was. She traveled with Paul. She shared the good news wherever she went. And she created a little monastic community where she lived out the rest of her days. Thecla heard the call. Jonah heard the call. The disciples heard the call. I heard the call. Even the Orioles heard the call. So I know that we all can hear the call of God. Now, what do all these stories teach us? I think they all have at least three common threads that run through each of these stories that we can learn from. The first is that we need an opening. We need to create a space where we can hear from God. Thecla was in an open window, and she heard the voice of Paul. The disciples were on the water in their boats. Have you ever been out on the water in a fishing boat, and you can hear voices traveling across the waves? They could hear. Jonah was on the beach. It was silent. He could hear. And of course, the Orioles were nesting in the trees. They had an opening. Now, our lives are often so noisy and so busy that we cannot create the opening where we can hear God's word. We have external noise, which is traffic and television and cell phones and our neighbors maybe being noisy. And then we have internal noise, noise of anxiety, financial problems, relationship issues, stress, fear. All those things cause this internal noise that keeps our minds racing and unable to be quiet enough to hear the word of God. And that is why, one of the many reasons why, church is so relevant. Because week after week, we come to this place and we can turn off for at least an hour the external noise. We can quiet the internal noise. We can allow the music and the prayers and the ritual and the rhythm of the worship service carry us to that place where we can hear, where we are finally quiet enough, where we have created an opening for God to speak to us. So first, we need to create that stillness, and second, we need to identify our longing. What is it that we long for? Thecla longed for a different life, not the one that was already prescribed and chosen for her. The disciples wanted to do more than just fish and survive. And when Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of people," their spirits must have leapt at that opportunity. The Orioles were probably just hungry, but that's okay. They were longing for grape jelly. Church helps us also identify what we long for. So many times we don't even know what we want. And we have to be careful here because there's a difference between wants and the cry of our spirit. We might want a car with a heated steering wheel. We might want a new house or a bigger house or a different body or a different spouse, whatever it is. There are things that we want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what do you long for? What is the cry of your spirit? And you have to be quiet to hear that also. And for many of us, we have quieted the cry of our own heart so many times that we can no longer hear it. Church is a place where we are safe to listen to the cry of our own heart. We need an opening, and we need to know what we long for. And there's one more thing, number three, that all of these stories have in common, and it's simply this: we need to act. James said that faith without works is dead. If we sense the call of God, if we know that it lines up or connects somehow with the longing we have in our heart, then we must act. Thecla baptized herself. The disciples got out of the boat and followed Jesus, and their lives were changed forever. We are still talking about what happened to the disciples thousands of years later. Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, he is an interesting character. I identify a lot with Jonah because it takes me two or three times of hearing before I'm ready to say, okay, I'm in. Jonah had heard the word of God before and said no. He ended up with an all-expense-paid trip for 3 days in the slimy belly of a fish, and he did not want to repeat that again. So the second time he hears the call, he acts. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches the word of God, and the people repent, and they are saved, and Jonah is mad. He didn't like that at all, but he did what God asked him to do. Now, church also gives us so many opportunities to take action. You heard earlier as we talked about the food pantry and the baby sprinkles and all the things that this church does that are just amazing. There are so many opportunities here for you to do whatever it is your spirit is calling for you to do. Maybe right now it's just to belong, just to sit and be part of a family. Maybe you want to be an usher or a greeter or help with one of our ministries. All that's wonderful, but this is a place that gives you all kinds of opportunities to act. You don't have to cut your own hair and baptize yourself. You don't have to leave your livelihood and follow someone all around Palestine. You don't have to be like Jonah and stand out on the corner of Mechanic and Biddle and preach the word of God. But you do need to do something. So this week, let's start with one of those three. Let's start with the first one, creating an opening, creating silence in our lives so that we can truly listen. And if you do a really good job this week, I'll give you a Cheerio. But today, I want us to try it together. We have just a little bit of music to play, and I want to invite you right now to silence any external noise. Silence any thoughts, any internal noise, and try to listen. Let's listen for God's call. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.